BBC Sounds. Music, radio, podcasts.
Hello, Jenny Murray welcoming you to the Woman's Hour podcast for Friday the 8th of May. Good morning. Now, Sally Rooney's Normal People was a big hit as a novel. It won the 2018 Costa Novel Award. It's now BBC Three's most successful drama series. In the same year, Anna Burns' The Milkman won the Booker Prize, and Michelle Gallen's Big Girl, Small Town has been brilliantly reviewed and described as where Milkman meets Derry Girls. There has been some rapid social change in the whole of Ireland, both north and south. To what extent has it influenced the subject matter of this new generation of female Irish writers? I'm joined by Jan Carson, who's a novelist and the author of Firestarters, Lucy Caldwell, who's also an author and playwright, and most recently the editor of an anthology, Being Various. Lucy, why do you believe Ireland is going through what some people have described as a golden age of writing?
Yes, the term golden age, sometimes you think it seems a bit of a truism, something that people, you know, easily reach for. But when I was putting together the intricate puzzle of writers that I wanted to be represented in the anthology of new Irish writing, it was just beyond a doubt the range of work that's being produced. Crime writers, young writers of young adult fiction, writers who are blending genre in different ways, you know, creating whole new genres. There's just such a wide variety of writing happening at the moment.
Jan, to what would you put this boom down?
I guess for me, there's a number of different reasons. I think particularly for women writers in Ireland, there's been a lot more visibility for us. There were a few huge groundbreaking anthologies. Sinead Gleeson edited The Long Gaze Back and The Glass Shore, and then we had Female Lines in the North. And there's a kind of critical momentum when you can see other women raising their voices and saying things so eloquently and powerfully, it makes you want to write yourself. I didn't grow up with a lot of female Irish icons to read and to emulate. So it makes me excited for the next generation of young women writers who hopefully have a few more role models to look to now.
Now, I understand you waited a while before you began. You didn't begin writing until you were 25. What might have held you back from saying, yes, I can do this, I can write a great novel and publish it?
I guess it took me a long time to come into my voice. I was scribbling away in secret. And I think I needed to scare myself a little bit. I actually moved to the States and started telling people I was a writer before I was writing anything to shock myself. But for me, one of the big things was I grew up in quite a conservative religious background, rural Presbyterian in the North, and there wasn't a huge amount of support for the arts within that community. It's quite a Calvinist background, where there's a bit of a fear of the arts and the links to idolatry and kind of losing yourself in the world. So it took me a wee while to realise that actually, you know, theologically, there is a huge mandate for engagement with the arts. And, you know, it was OK for me to begin writing and sharing my stories and experimenting with creativity.
So, Lucy, how much influence would you say the social, political and economic changes that have happened have had on women who want to write and may have been afraid to do it in the past but are no longer afraid?
An incredible amount. When I got my first book deal, my sisters made me a postcard, a congratulations card, and they used that famous postcard of Ireland's writers. You know, it's a sort of sepia-toned one, and you've got Joyce and Oscar Wilde and Sean O'Casey, Yeats, Shaw, Samuel Beckett, Behan. Not a single woman, of course, and they found a suitably studious-looking picture of me, tippexed my name on just below Oscar Wilde's shoulder. And I've always had that on my desk, and you start to think, where are the women if they're not celebrated, if you don't have them, as Jan says, as role models, if you can't find yourself, place yourself in those genealogies, it can be very hard. One of the things that was most interesting in all of the referendums that have been happening in Ireland, in Southern Ireland, the extent to which they relied on personal testimony and on personal stories. I remember being so struck by one woman, she was about 80, she was being taken to vote in the marriage equality referendum. And she said she was voting for marriage equality because she had never been able to live the life that she wanted. She'd never been able to love the person or people that she'd wanted. And she wanted that to change. And you think, that's such a sense of loss. We don't have those stories. You know, those stories are completely missing. At the same time, at the moment, I'm mentoring a woman writer who is Muslim. She came to Belfast as a child. She grew up in Belfast. She is married to a Belfast man and has three children. And she says she's always had a complete block around writing anything set in Belfast because she feels like an imposter. She feels like her stories shouldn't really belong. But what happens is as soon as her stories are published, as soon as they're there, other women will feel that they can tell their stories. And so the tapestry just gets richer.
But what about some of the tremendously influential women of the past? I mean, even Boland, who died at the end of April, her poetry was about the female experience in Ireland. Edna O'Brien, Maeve Binchy, both very different novelists. But there, up in the front, why did they not say to you, yeah, go on, do it?
I mean, they should be. The Irish Times did produce an alternative version of the famous poster that I'm talking about, but there are still so many women who aren't celebrated as they should be. Nuala Fualon's brilliant essay collection with a brilliant title, Are You Somebody? Frances Molloy, who's a writer from Derry, who published just one novel, mid-70s, written in a child's vernacular and a young woman's, you know, with that Derry idiom, really scabrously funny, really good. There are so many women whose work has been underappreciated, and they're there. They need to be championed a bit more.
Jan, your Firestarters is set in East Belfast in 2016, very contemporary, but the style is magic realism. Why did you choose to write it in that way?
Oh, gosh, I could give you an essay on this. One of the things was...
We don't have time for an essay, but we're very interested in what you have to say.
I guess I've always read magic realism, and there's very little in Northern Ireland's canon that isn't very realist. I think we mistakenly think serious times require serious, straightforward writing. So I want it to bring some magic realism into the mix. I also want it to allow, particularly the Protestant community that I write about, I want it to allow them to see the magic in their culture. I think when you introduce magic realism or the fantastical, it allows people to see themselves in a different light, that there is potential for wonder and strangeness and all of that fantastic thing, even in the culture that you're very familiar with. And I think then my final reason, and I steal this from Flannery O'Connor, who's my hero, she was asked why she used the grotesque. And she always said, to the hard of hearing you shout, and for the almost blind you draw large and startling figures. And for me, sometimes you need to throw something a bit unsettling into the mix when you write, because we can become so used to hearing the same story over and over again, particularly in a Northern Irish context. Those absurd tropes of magic realism just make people wake up and pay attention.
Lucy, I mentioned that the success of that trio, Rooney, Burns and Gallant, that we've become very aware of recently. How does their success influence others in both the North and the South?
I think, I'm sure Jan would agree with this. When I started writing, when I started publishing, it would be very unusual to have more than one woman on a panel discussion about Irish writing. You certainly wouldn't get two Northern women. And the success of all three of the authors who you mentioned, all three are brilliant, writing very different styles, telling very different sorts of stories. Sally Rooney is obviously very young. Other writers, there's often the sense that new is used as a synonym for young. And that's not the case. In my anthology, I have writers who are writing for the first time, publishing for the first time in their 50s, one writer who is 70, and it's her second ever published story. And so I think, again, the greater variety of writing that we have, Michelle Gallant's book is brilliantly funny, Anna Burns as well, it creates a space for so much more. And I think as a writer as well, when you see other people writing really well, it ups your game. You know, you learn from the risks that they've taken, you learn from the techniques that they've used. It becomes very exciting to feel yourself in conversation with those such books.
And Lucy, in your anthology, you've included voices of those who are not necessarily born in Ireland but have Irish parentage or residence. They've come to live in Ireland, as you said, you're a Muslim woman. Why have you decided to do that?
Well, I think that's so important, Jenny. You know, for so long, Ireland has, or a sense of Irish identity has been based on the diaspora. And we have so many brilliant voices, sometimes we can be blinded to those, you know, that we're not seeing. And I wanted to include people who have come to Ireland from elsewhere, because when you're starting to think about place, I have a writer, Malati Uchea-Corey, who wrote a beautiful story. She came to Ireland as an asylum seeker from Nigeria. I have another writer called Yenga, who wrote a brilliant story. She's a bit of a superstar in China, met and fell in love with an Irishman and moved to Ireland and started writing in English. Another Finnish-born writer who said that although she's lived for twice as long, she's lived for 40 years in Ireland, no one ever considers her an Irish writer, even though it's a place that she's chosen to come, the place that she's chosen to live. And so I wanted to look at that sense of how identity, you know, what makes a writer Irish? Is it the place you happen to be born in? If you are born in Ireland and yet choose to leave, do you have more right to be an Irish writer than someone who's born elsewhere and yet chooses to come? So I wanted to consider a lot of those questions in the anthology.
And Jan, finally, from a staunchly Protestant background with an Orange Man grandfather, what was it like when you were awarded the EU Prize for Literature last year? How did that go down?
I won the EU Prize for Ireland, actually, which was particularly poignant. Honestly, Jenny, it was an incredibly humbling experience. My book is concerned primarily with loyalism and British identity in the North, and for the judging panel for Ireland to be inclusive and open-minded enough to think that this was a book which represented Ireland as a whole, to me, it's really hopeful for the future that, you know, that this is a place that's always struggled with identity and who we are and, you know, a lot of binaryisms, and that Ireland that I have experienced as a writer, the community there is incredibly inclusive and diverse and eclectic. And I've always just felt so at home there. So to me, it made me cry to receive that prize in a really humbling way, to feel like this is a community that wants me.
Well, Jan Carson, Lucy Caldwell, thank you both very much indeed for joining us this morning, and the best of luck with your writing careers.